Back up top, shot through traffic, save made. Follow-up try, that one hits a body in front, and a score! It's a score! It's a score! And the Ice Bears have a 4-3 lead with 30 seconds remaining in the hockey game. Oh, what a hit! Welcome to the SPHL in Knoxville! Comes in on the right side, through the right circle, taking it and fed across, they score! Oh, yes! And the Ice Bears win 3-2 in overtime!
Welcome in to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. I am Joel Silberg. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the KIB podcast, whether you are doing so on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Thank you to everybody that has listened to the podcast throughout the course of the season. I really appreciate it. Thank you all the new listeners that have joined us throughout the course of the year. Thank you to everybody that's continued to listen. Those of you that have liked, subscribed, shared the podcast, told other people about it, really appreciate you spreading the word about the KIB podcast. It is one of my favorite annual episodes that I have been doing over the last several years of this podcast, and that is the All SPHL Awards ballot. So the deadline for that was Wednesday, April 3rd at 5 o'clock. So I typically like to give a breakdown of my own ballot after that deadline has passed. So it's always a lot of fun for me. I enjoy voting on this. I enjoy discussing it. I enjoy seeing how everything kind of plays out. And this year, I feel like it was the most difficult for me to fill out my ballot this season because I thought it was really deep at a lot of different position groups. I think goaltender of the year, there's a lot of debate. I think defenseman of the year, there's a ton of debate. I think the all SPHL teams, there's a ton of debate. Rookie of the year, I think there's debate all across the board. And there always is. There's always some level of debate. But there were, I had almost had to take a little bit of extra time to really go over it and kind of figure out, is this really how what I feel the best players are at these positions? Is this the person that's most deserving of this award? It was more difficult for me to fill out the ballot this year than it has been in years past, in the years that I've been filling out an All-SPHL ballot because of how deep I think the league was this year for position battles, individual statistical races. And then, you know, even from a team standpoint, I feel like there are more title-contending teams that could win the President's Cup this year. And I kind of mentioned that on an earlier episode of the podcast back in March, but I really feel like the same kind of goes for the all SPHL ballot. So we'll get into it. I'll break down my ballot and kind of go over everything and give my stance on why I voted for this player and maybe why I didn't vote for another. And so obviously it's going to make some fans of particular teams fairly upset, but you know, can't please everybody. So always enjoy this. Always enjoy the discussion and the debate. And let's just get right into it. So again, just a couple of house rules for the all SPHL ballots. Each team has to submit two ballots. So typically the head coach is given one and then the head coach defers another member or person of their team or staff or that represents their market to fill out the bracket. So some teams will give it to an assistant coach. Some teams will give it to their broadcaster or even a beat writer that doesn't work for the team specifically, but maybe covers the team for the local newspaper. But each team has to submit two ballots. And so that's been me for the Ice Bears for the last several years. I always appreciate getting to do it. And so obviously Andrew Harrison, Knoxville's head coach, will fill out the other one. You cannot vote for players of the team that you work for or that you represent or that you cover. So there are no Knoxville players on my ballot. And let's go ahead and just skip the jokes. Knoxville statistically did not have the season that it would have wanted and probably not going to be seeing any Knoxville players on the ballot across the board. And that's just kind of the way the season goes sometimes. So unfortunate, but, you know, obviously Knoxville looking ahead to next season. And so the deadline was Wednesday, April 3rd at 5 o'clock. So I typically, I don't like to broadcast this until after that deadline has passed. And so, you know, I don't like the idea of potentially, I don't want to campaign for a specific player with my ballot. So I like to reveal this after the deadline is already complete. Can just kind of have this discussion and then move forward. And so wanting to emphasize again, the deadline was Wednesday, April 3rd. So yes, the deadline happens before the end of the regular season. And then after the conclusion of the regular season, we find out the results from the regular season awards. And while, yes, theoretically somebody could have some monster weekend in the final two games of the regular season that, oh, if I had known that that was going to happen, I would vote for this player. It, usually we kind of get to a point where it all comes out like this. Obviously, there's, the one statistical award that the SPHL does give out, the Kevin Swider Leading Scorer Award, that obviously will be determined at the completion of the regular season. That's not up for voting. That's just up to who finishes the regular season with the most points. So with that being said, let's get right into it. We will go ahead and start with the all-rookie team. This was not easy, especially the way that March kind of played out. So when you look at the goaltender selection, again, another just reminder, goalies have to have played in a minimum of 20 games to be considered eligible. Skaters have to have played in at least 35. So if there's a, recent goalie that maybe just came on to a team and has been a really solid backup, but they've only played in 18 games, it doesn't matter. They're not eligible. So there are only four eligible rookie goalies to be on the All-SPHL rookie team. Steven Mundinger of Pensacola, Cole Ceci of Evansville, Ryan Kenny of Fayetteville, Brian Wilson of Huntsville. I think all four of those guys had really solid years. And if their respective teams choose to retain them moving forward, I think that would be a win for all parties involved. I went with Ryan Kenny. And when you look at the goals against average, the margin is not really that wide. Kenny has a 247 average. Mundinger is a 242. Ceci has a 244. Kenny was tied for the most wins. He played 30 games. Gave up fewer goals overall than Mundinger, though Mundinger played in five more games than he did. The reason that Kenny gets the nod for me, the save percentage really stands out. He's second in the league overall among all goalies, all qualified goalies anyway, in save percentage. And I think when you look at his situation, I thought he really earned everything that he had, because at the beginning of the season, it was really Connor O'Brien that was kind of the ace in Fayetteville. And then O'Brien goes down with an injury. Kenny takes over. He has a really, really strong December. January comes around. O'Brien is set to come back. Then O'Brien gets placed on team suspension. And Kenny becomes the ace the rest of the way. And statistically, I think he would have liked to have had a little bit better of a March. Fayetteville went through a really tough stretch where they lost 10 games. Now they're starting to look a little bit more competitive. I know they got swept by Roanoke this past week, but having Simon Boyko back makes them a much better team. So I thought Kenny overall, with the situation that he was in, faced 1,000 shots on the year, had a really heavy workload. I think there's multiple guys that you can make an argument for, especially it also depends on what criteria, and this is kind of the case for really any of these awards, but what criteria are you basing it on? So you're essentially the all-rookie team goaltender is the best rookie goalie in the SPHL. Are you basing that on which goalie was the most valuable to their team? Well, you can make the argument that that was Cole Ceci in Evansville. Is it the one that has the best statistical season? Now you get into a little bit more of a debate because, well, Mundinger just had just as many wins. He had a better goals against average. Kenny had a better save percentage. So there's a lot of things that can kind of play into it. For me, I was always impressed with the way that Kenny took on the role of having to be the number one and having to be the workhorse after another really good goaltender for Fayetteville became unavailable for the majority of the season. And who knows, Kenny might have emerged as the number one anyway, but I think everybody would probably look at the situation and agree O'Brien and Kenny would have been a really nice goaltender duo throughout the course of this season. It's not to say the other guys that Fayetteville had brought in couldn't have gotten the job done, but Kenny, I think, was definitely thrust into a different situation by, O'Brien's absence and then ultimately not returning to the team this season. Defensemen, I had Matt Arujo and Matt Duran. Matt Arujo from Fayetteville, Matt Duran from Huntsville. This was kind of a tough situation as well when you look at what a bunch of different rookies did. I thought John McDonald had a really good season. Arujo really impressed me because of how offensive he could be with his game, was always helping set plays up, and has been really, really consistent throughout the course of the season for Fayetteville on that back end. Matt Duran, I think, has been really solid, can score from the blue line, which is what Huntsville likes to do with their blue liners. They like to give them the green light to shoot from the point. Duran had that potential, could be utilized in the power play as well. So, and the notable snubs there are going to be guys like John McDonald, Billy Roach from Roanoke, potentially Mason Palmer from Huntsville, Nick Prestia from Evansville. But I think consistency and just for Duran how good he is on the back end defensively. And it's tough because typically with these defenseman awards, we look at the guys that have contributed the most points to their teams. You know, even though they're defensemen, you know, they can contribute offensively. But I think what stands out about Arujo and Duran, Duran's going to play in his 50th game of the season this weekend. He has less than 30 penalty minutes. Arujo has 25 penalty minutes. Guys that stay out of the box. And so it's not really so much like, it's nothing against John McDonald or Billy Roach or Mason Palmer or any of those guys. But seeing all those players in person, I always felt like Arujo really stood out whenever he was on the ice for Fayetteville. I felt like Duran was somebody you had to kind of keep watch out for Huntsville, just being on that back end. And if you've listened to my broadcast, you've heard me talk extensively about Alex Kilcheski, how good of a defenseman I think he is for the Havoc. Duran being a newer piece to that decor could really help Huntsville in the long run. So I have Duran. I have Arujo. It wasn't an easy call. But again, that's kind of going to be the case with a lot of these decisions. So again, with the all-rookie team, moving on to the forward group. So my rookie of the year, we'll go ahead and throw this out there. Rookie of the year, I have Simon Boyko. I know Nikita Kozarev has more points. To me, I think it's the impact that Boyko makes for Fayetteville. I think he turns them into more of a contender than they are without him. And, you know, he went up to the ECHL, went to Rapid City, had 11 points in 19 games, was really good for them. I was talking to former Fayetteville broadcaster Drew Blevins, who is now the voice of the Rapid City Rush. He said, man, I wish we would have kept him. But it sounds like they're very interested in the possibility of, entertaining having Boyko back in South Dakota next year. And so for Boyko, I think when he's on the ice, he can do so many individual plays. You can see him set up his teammates. You can see him score goals as part of set pieces, as part of the offensive zone system. But he can also go coast to coast, carry the puck on his own. I've seen him take the puck away in the D zone, carry it up himself, create space, and score all in the same sequence. So he's a really good shot creator. And I think on both ends, he plays with a lot of speed. He's really impactful. And when you look at the difference between him and Kozarev, Kozarev has 5 more points. Boyko's played in 14 fewer games. So the point per game margin is part of it. Now, if the difference was greater, if we were talking about like a 65-point season for Kozarev, I don't think there'd be much of a debate about it. But when you're looking at the margins that closely, I think seeing what a guy does day in and day out, you want to reward the statistical leader. But I think 5 points over the course of an entire season when one guy's played 14 fewer games as a result of being on call-up to a higher league, to me, I think Boyko has had the best season, individual season, of the time that he has been on the ice than any other rookie forward in the league this year. So I have Boyko as my rookie of the year. I have Kozarev also on the all-rookie team. Alex LaPlante of Macon is my number 3. And this was actually really, really hard because you look at Huntsville alone. Dylan Stewart, Buster Larson, Phil Elkstam, all 3 of those guys have had really great rookie campaigns. And if Elkstam's 1 point away from being a 40-point player this year. I know Larson didn't spend the entire season with Huntsville, but he's got 36 points in 35 games for the Havoc. So Huntsville potentially could have 3 40-point rookies on their squad. I've liked Dylan Stewart all year. I think he's really explosive. I think he understands how to play both ways in the center position. And in this league, as a rookie, that's not always a given. He could score goals. He's unselfish with the puck, can set up his teammates well. I think Huntsville potentially could be really, really good in the next couple of years, depending on how many of these rookies they're able to maintain. How many of them are going to opt to go play over in the ECHL? How many of them are going to call up opportunities? Do any of them choose to go over to Europe? And again, I've talked about this before on the show. Players leave teams for different reasons. It's not even so much, well, I don't like the fit, or I don't like the team, or I don't like the coach, I don't like the organization. Sometimes it's really just, hey, I'm young, I want to go travel overseas, or hey, I've got an opportunity to go play at the next level. The SPHL is a really difficult league to sustain consistent roster retention year in and year out. Huntsville has a really good history of doing it. A few years ago, they had a really good D-Corps, you know, led by Nolan Kaiser and guys like that, and Pat Condon and Peter Sakalis, and that's why they were always so good defensively, and their goalies put up good numbers. And then as those guys kind of started to phase out a little bit, they had a consistent offensive unit of Tyler Piacentini and Cy Nutkovich and Rob Dara, and then they added Jacob Barber to the mix, and they continue to compete. And that's the thing. If this is the rebuilding stage for Huntsville, in the Stuart Stephon era where it's his first year, he's got a lot of core pieces that if he retains those guys, he has a lot to look forward to next year. So I know Huntsville, you know, prefers to be higher in the standings, and they could still claim home ice advantage by the end of the regular season. But I know Huntsville prefers to be higher. And so, you know, you never want to settle for fifth place. But if Huntsville ends up in fifth or sixth behind Quad City and Fayetteville towards the middle of the pack there in the standings, okay, that's not the most advantageous. But I thinking about long term, obviously you hope that your team can go out and compete and, you know, go win some playoff series and go win a cup this year. But just thinking long term, I think Huntsville fans have to be really excited about the way that Stuart Stephon has kind of built this team in this first year. So for Alex LaPlante from Macon, 26 goals, that was second among rookies. He's among the league leaders across the board in goal scorers, 43 points on the year for a team that's missing the playoffs. I thought LaPlante was a really good bright spot, and he's been there all year, and he's played well. He's been a dangerous shooter. So for me, just kind of LaPlante just rewarding the work that he put into this season. So that's the all-rookie team for me. Ryan Kenny, the goaltender from Fayetteville, Matt Arujo from Fayetteville, Matt Duran from Huntsville as the defenseman, and then the forward, Simon Boyko from Fayetteville, Nikita Kozarev from Birmingham, Alex LaPlante from Macon. Moving on to the, let's go to the Coach of the Year award now. So for the Coach of the Year, I have Dan Bremner from Roanoke. And here's why. His team's going to finish in third. So you look at Birmingham and Peoria. For Birmingham, where they're at right now, to me, was kind of expected. I said it at the beginning of the year, especially once they added Drake Glover, I thought that the Bulls were going to be very, very formidable again. I expected them to be a top two team. I wasn't sure if they were going to necessarily win the league, but they're 1 point away from doing that now. And they get two games against Evansville to do it, or Fayetteville has to then sweep. So it's a lot of things have to go against Birmingham for the Bulls not to finish with the number one seed. But not only that, but Craig Simchuk did win it last year. And while I don't like necessarily playing into the role of, well, we can't vote for the same guy twice. I mean, if he's the best coach in the year in back-to-back years, then sure you can. But, and then for Peoria, Jean-Guy Trudel, I thought he had a lot of consistency. I thought he had a lot of depth. He's added a couple of really nice pieces that I think have helped him. The reason that Dan Bremner stands out to me, and for what it's worth, I think if Fayetteville hadn't gone through that 10-game skid, if they had stayed in the top two the entire season, Ryan Crothers, as a first-year coach with a really young team, probably gets the nod here. But here's my take on Dan Bremner. His team dealt with injuries and serious roster attrition throughout the year. A lot of guys got called up, some of them for an extensive amount of time. Xavier Filion was gone for a long time. Dominik Marcinkiewicz was gone for a long time. He lost both of the Leonard brothers, and they still haven't come back. And he maintained Roanoke into a position where they could compete. And they struggled a little bit at times, kind of through February, where they had a tough stretch. But the thing is, when Fayetteville was struggling, Fayetteville was losing a lot of games in regulation. When Roanoke was struggling, they were scrapping points together by getting games to overtime. And so, yeah, they lost a couple of games in overtime here and there, or they'd lose a low-scoring game. But when you look at the players that they were missing at that time, you think to yourself, okay, well, if Roanoke gets those guys back, they're going to be really lethal. And Xavier Filion and Dominik Marcinkiewicz came back the same week. The offense started to roll, and you saw them starting to win games again. And now they've got points in seven of their last 10. And so they are solidified as the three spot. And not only that, but Nick Ford, one of your captains and your leading scorer at the time, opts to go overseas and play for a team in Poland, something he'd always wanted to do. So he's gone for the rest of the season, opting to leave. A big reason that you were able to win the title the year before, too, because he's been such a big part of that team for the last several years. And Bremner overcomes all of that and then recruits a bunch of really talented recent college graduates. And some of them have become mainstays, and a handful of them have left the team to go finish their academic semester, which is obviously understandable, but Aiden Gerdukas, Troy Quinn have been nice additions. And then it gets to a point where he kind of has to decide to cut Anthony Sonato, who is a point per game player for him. And when you looked at Roanoke's forward depth, it was kind of hard to argue with that. And I think even some of the newcomers, like obviously you have the mainstays, Mac Jansen, CJ Stubbs has had a great year for them statistically. Dominik Marcinkiewicz, I think, has added a new element to his game offensively. So you have depth up and down the lineup. And then you look at a player, even looking at the back end, Matt O'Day, you lose him for a good amount of time. Brendan Pepe's had a breakout year. You got a really solid rookie campaign out of John McDonald. So you feel like there's so much to like about the job that Bremner did, because it's really tough to overcome call-ups and injuries when they're all happening at the same time. And I think Bremner's done a really good job of that. They lost Brendan Stanko for a while, then they got him back. Now they've lost him again. So just up and down the lineup, there have been some new faces where there's been a ton of buy-in because you have a veteran core that leads so well. But that starts with your head coach to be able to put that together. So, and granted, he's already proven that he can be a really good coach in this league. He's got two finals appearances. He has a championship. He just coached Roanoke to its best regular season finish in franchise history. So to me, Dan Bremner's the coach of the year. And I don't know how everybody else is going to see it that way. Obviously, Simchuk and Jean-Guy Trudel would be expected to receive some consideration. Ryan Crothers still has had a really good first season. Dave Shinichny with the team that he put together, it's feeling very similar to what happened in 2022. He's got a really talented team that just keeps getting hit by injuries and call-ups. And I think now his team can start to come together. Let's see if Matt Eustaski and Dylan Fournier come back. But, you know, I think there have been several guys that have had really good seasons. And then you have to really like what Stuart Stefan did, as I mentioned a moment ago, with his first season in Huntsville. But I think the way that Dan Bremner helped his team to get better, or at least stay competing at the same level that they were at despite taking some losses, and now they're getting to the point where they feel like they're going to be competitive going in, I think it's really a tip of the cap to Bremner and the job that he did, especially in the second half of the season, when it can become really difficult to manage a roster. So Dan Bremner is my coach of the year. Simon Boyko from Fayetteville is my rookie of the year. Let's move into the All-SPHL teams. And I guess that means we're starting with goaltender of the year. So this is going to be pretty debatable, obviously, because of how the statistics look and how everything came out. I have Hayden Stewart from Birmingham as my first team All-SPHL goalie, and I have him as my goaltender of the year. And that's essentially how the awards voted on for goalie of the year. If he's your first team goalie, that's your vote for goaltender of the year. So Hayden Stewart to me, I know Nick Latinovich has the higher goals against average, and the 1.95 goals against average is really, really impressive for a guy that played over 2,100 minutes. To me, the difference is Hayden Stewart faced a heavier workload. They've both played in 38 games. Stewart has played more complete games. He's played more minutes than Latinovich has. He has a 2.12 average, which is still unreal. That's still a great average. And when you look at qualified goalies, you have Nick Latinovich at a 1.95, Hayden Stewart at a 2.12. Nobody else is under a 2.40. Latinovich has more wins than Stewart by one. Stewart has faced more than 250 more shots than Latinovich has this season. The workload has been heavier. And so when you look at the overall landscape of the entire course of the season, Stewart's given up 80 goals in 2,200 minutes. Latinovich has given up 70. And over the grand scheme of 38 games, that's really not that many. The save percentage is significantly higher for Stewart. And I think the way that Birmingham plays, it requires a lot more of their goalies. They like to play with tempo. They like to play fast, physical hockey. And that can sometimes lead to odd man rushes both ways. And they've stayed disciplined this year, which has been really helpful. But Latinovich has only faced 825 shots. And again, that's not his fault. So I don't want anybody to think, well, you're punishing Latinovich because it's not his fault that he doesn't face as many shots. I'm really rewarding Hayden Stewart more. And the 7 shutouts for Latinovich are really impressive. That's the second most in SPHL history in a single season. But you look at the number of times that Latinovich only, you know, one of his shutouts was only 9 shots. There were several others where he faced less than 15 shots in a game. You're talking about a goalie that, for stretches of games, is facing less than 5 shots a period. And for Stewart, obviously, his 4 shutouts, you know, most of those are going to be lower shot totals, as is expected. You're more likely to record a shutout when you're facing fewer shots. But to me, I think Stewart was asked more of from his team than Latinovich was for Peoria. I think both guys are really solid goalies. Both guys had goaltender of the year worthy numbers and goaltender of the year worthy seasons. It was really difficult for me. I think Latinovich is deserving. I just think Stewart is a little bit more deserving in this case. So I have Stewart as my first team goalie. I have Latinovich as my second team. And so again, and I kind of talked about this last week, I kind of joked that Latinovich has 5 other goalies out there with him. So my two all SPHL first team defensemen. Obviously, if I'm gonna reward Hayden Stewart and kind of point out that Latinovich has faced fewer shots, well, his defense deserves credit for that, right? So I have Zach Wilkie on my all SPHL first team. So you kind of see the logic there is why I'm valuing what Peoria does defensively in their structure just a little bit more than what Latinovich does. And look, Latinovich could, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he went and had a lights out postseason. Like it's, you know, and I could see a bunch of different, I could see the vote going different ways. Are people going to look at, oh, well, the seven shutouts is really impressive, or the fact that he's got this sub two goals against average. Statistically, Latinovich has the better resume. I just think Stewart has had the better season, has been the better performing goaltender overall. But for Zach Wilkie, I think what he's done this season for Peoria, he's continued to be great. And really, I think there are three goalies or three defensemen that are all worthy of defenseman of the year. So I have Zach Wilkie as my first team defenseman, along with Brendan Pepe from Roanoke. And then on the second team, I have Matt O'Day from Roanoke and Dylan Fournier of Quad City. And so the three guys that I really want to highlight here are Wilkie, Pepe, and O'Day. And I think there are three different ways. All three of them kind of have a different resume crown that really escalates the campaign for each of the three of them. So I think Zach Wilkie has had the strongest year statistically of any defenseman in the league. I think Matt O'Day this season was the best defenseman in the league on the ice. I think Brendan Pepe is the most deserving of the award. You look at Brendan Pepe last year as a rookie, he had 9 points for Roanoke all season. He has 39 points this year. He's a plus 20. He's been willing to kind of do it all for Roanoke. He leads all defensemen in goals. He can score from the point. He's not afraid to push the puck in and go up the zone. He can find guys in the passing lane. I think Wilkie has been really, really good. You know, he's the reigning defenseman of the year. If Wilkie wins it, he'll be just the second player in SPHL history to win that award twice. I think O'Day is probably the most explosive, and he's the most dangerous, especially with the puck on his stick. But I think also what he does defensively in the back end, he can execute breakouts well. The reason that I think Pepe is most deserving is similar to why I think Dan Bremner is the coach of the year. You look at all of the attrition that Roanoke suffered, and Matt O'Day is just now getting off the IR. He's missed time this year. He's only played in 42 games. Pepe has been there the entire season for Roanoke. He's been consistent. He's been stable. He has become one of the best defensemen in the SPHL after being kind of looked at as just not an unknown, but, you know, as a rookie, has 9 points, you think, okay, he's a steady defenseman on a defensive team that has really good goaltending. So he goes out and he does his job. But this year he has been, you have to pay attention to him on the ice because he can score from different places. That's really rare for a defenseman to do. And the fact that he was able to continue to lead that defense with Matt O'Day's absence is really significant. Now, I think Wilkie, if I had to guess, I would say Wilkie's probably going to end up winning the award because I think I could see it happening where maybe Pepe and O'Day get split votes because you're looking at two guys from the same team and you're thinking, well, it's like, well, are they both the defenseman of the year? Like, which one's better? And then Wilkie, I think, is going to be consistently considered across the board by a lot of other voters. But I also think part of it, too, is for Wilkie, he has five other 40-point scorers on his team. Peoria has a ton of forward depth. Brendan Pepe has one. Roanoke has one guy on their team that's been a 40-point scorer this year. Pepe's had to help generate more offense. I think he's been really valuable for Roanoke especially down the stretch of this season. So again, I think Matt O'Day, when he's on the ice, when he's been available, I think he's been the best defenseman. I think he's been more significantly valuable to his team, especially since he can also play forward as well and push the offense. He's had a couple of 3-point games this year playing on the blue line, but he's also done it playing center. He's got really good defensive instincts and can help offensively as well. I think Zach Wilkie's had the best season statistically, but I think Brendan Pepe's most deserving. And if we were voting specifically for one guy to win the award, Pepe gets the nod for me. And again, going back to that second team, Dylan Fournier's had a really good season, 33-point year. He was a former second-round draft pick to the Chicago Blackhawks. And if he gets back for Quad City ahead of the postseason, he's going to help them a lot. He's been really steady on the blue line. And has taken more of a leadership role within the organization. What's been a really good year for Quad City. So the rest of the all SPHL first team, my three forwards, Carson Rose from Birmingham, Drake Glover from Birmingham, Leif Mattsson from Quad City. For the second team, I have Simon Boyko from Fayetteville and Nikita Kozarev from Birmingham. So the guys getting nods both on the second team and on the rookie team. And I have Matt Ustaski on the second team as well. So to me, for Rose, Glover, and Mattson, obviously Rose is leading the league in points. Those are the top; those three guys are the top three point getters this year in the SPHL. Kozarev is actually tied for third with Glover, so I've got Kozarev on that second team. And so across the board, I mean, Birmingham is just so deep, but they've got guys that are so good offensively in so many ways. To me, Carson Rose is the MVP. And the reason why is right now he's the only 30-30 guy in the entire league. And so it's, you know, I think for a while he was kind of viewed as a guy that was mainly a goal scorer, nothing else, but he's got 30 goals. He's got 34 assists. He's a plus 25. He's utilized heavily on the power play. He scores goals in the clutch. He's got great offensive skill that if he gets loose in open space, he's really dangerous. And I think he's had a phenomenal season. He's been a good player in this league for a while, but I think this year he's really taken another step and adding another dimension to his game. So I have Carson Rose as the MVP. The 30 for 30 stat is a little bit of what separates. And obviously he's got, you know, he's the only 60 point scorer in the league right now. There are three other guys right behind him that could join him in that club. For Leif Mattson, if he scores twice this weekend, he would reach the 30 goal plateau. He's got 59 points on the year, 31 assists. I think he's been great. I think he's been tremendous, especially since Quad has kind of dealt with some stuff. And Mattson's only played in 43 games. So he's been really phenomenal over the course of the entire season. Glover's on the first team. I think he is the biggest offseason acquisition of a player going from one SPHL team to another. Cameron Cook would be in the conversation as well, going from Evansville to Fayetteville. But the second I saw Glover was going to Birmingham, immediately I thought, yeah, Birmingham's going to be just fine. Yes, they're losing Mike Davis. Yes, they lost Stefan Brucato. Yes, Stepan Timofeyev didn't go back. Birmingham was going to be just fine, and they have been just fine this season. Moving on to the second team. So Boyko and Kozarev, I've already talked extensively about them. Kozarev leads the league in assists. And part of it, you know, I don't know if anybody's going to think of it this way, but part of it with the whole, you know, Boyko versus Kozarev deal, Kozarev has 40 assists. He has 18 goals. You almost, to me, you kind of at least have to ask the question. I'm not saying it's because of this. I think Kozarev is phenomenal and he would make any team that he's on in this league better. But there's also that question of, well, he's got so many good goal scorers around him. Does he have 40 assists because he has good goal scorers, or does he have good goal scorers around him because he's making them better with assists? I think both things can be true, but that's why I really like Boyko as the rookie of the year, because we've seen so many individual efforts by him and because we've seen night and day difference of how Fayetteville is offensively when he's in the lineup versus when he's not. Matt Ustaski is the last guy, the last forward that's on the list for me. I know that Cole Golka and Joseph Widmar have more points. Ustaski only played in 35 games. He has 53 points this season. He leads all players in points that are qualified for regular season awards. He's averaging a point and a half per game. He can pass. He can shoot. He's got balanced scoring, 27 goals, 26 assists. Can be good defensively. He's a big body out there. And I really feel like he's kind of the engine that makes that ship go for Quad City. And there was a time where both Mattson and Ustaski weren't available. I think Golka's been great. Golka's had an awesome year. And Quad City has a lot of forward depth this season, especially at the top end. But to me, when Ustaski's been on the ice, he's been a top player in the league. And so even though he's technically seventh or tied for sixth in scoring, you're talking about 53 points in 35 games compared to Golka, who had 53 points in 54 games. It doesn't take anything away from Golka, but Ustaski has been really, really good all season when he's been available. And so, you know, you could make the argument, well, that makes him the most valuable player for his team. Maybe, but at the same time, when you're talking about a statistical difference like that, I just think he at least deserves a nod on the All-SPHL team to some degree. So that is my 2023-24 regular season awards ballot. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this episode of the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. And again, not going to make everybody happy. There's going to be snubs, and this is not the final result. The voting's not necessarily going to go this way, but just wanted to kind of give you all a behind-the-scenes look into my outlook on how these awards are voted on and my own criteria and what I'm seeing from watching these teams throughout the year and the players that I think are deserving. And there's going to be more snubs this season than there normally are. I think there are a lot of really good players that are just not going to find themselves on ballots because there's a limited number of spots available. But I said it at the beginning of the episode, and I'll say it again. This was the hardest year to fill out this ballot in the years that I have been doing this. And I've been in the league for quite some time. But this was definitely the hardest ballot for me to fill out. So thank you again for listening to this episode of the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. Ice Bears are in action to close out the season with a home and home against Roanoke on Friday and Saturday. We'll have the call for you on 92.5 WKCE, the flagship station of the Knoxville Ice Bears, for both games, starting in Roanoke this Friday, ending the season at home on Saturday. Thank you again for listening to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast.